everyone, welcome back to Wizards of Ithaca. My name is Noemi and I'll be your host today. We are joined by Michael Galvin, founder of No Limit Email Marketing Agency, your email, I'm quoting now, your email marketing partner with a diverse line of consulting services and ready-made email solution for all kinds of e-commerce niches. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's very nice to be here. Well done.
Thank you. Very nice to have you on the show, Michael. Last time, I think a month ago, you presented to our advanced group and I found your presentation super interesting. And what I especially loved about it is that you have a background in selling. So you are an Amazon seller, you started there, and then you transitioned into email marketing. If you can give a short background to that, would appreciate that.
Yeah, so actually, so I started as a seller, and this was like back in 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. Sold on Amazon for maybe a year and a half, 2 years. And then I actually partnered up with a friend in a brand. We did amazingly well, it like very unexpectedly. We went from like zero to 200K a month within 6 months. And so we were both really blown away. And then we ended up like moving to the States and we ended up partnering into a few more skincare brand lines. And so I sort of got into consulting for Amazon sellers and partnering with other Amazon sellers and just growing Amazon brands. So I did that for maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And learned a lot, learned about Amazon, of course, but also learned a lot about marketing in general and selling off of Amazon and sort of having to build that fortress outside of Amazon to make sure that you really solidify your Amazon sales channel, right? Because Amazon is a sales channel in itself, right? It's not your whole business, you know, it's not everything. And it's really good to build outside of it so that you can keep on competing and dominating on Amazon and really support it. So did that. And then in the past, like 3 years, started to do a email agency, right? So it was for e-commerce sellers. That's what we wanted to focus on. And it made a lot of sense because, you know, with all the Amazon work I was doing, I had a lot of copywriters already on my team. I already knew a lot of Amazon sellers. And so I thought this is like kind of like a perfect pivot, somewhere to go. And we can still help Amazon sellers. And I know, you know, one of the big problems or bottlenecks for Amazon sellers was they could get on Amazon, which is great, and Amazon's great that way because you can get on there fast, you can get your product out there, you can get it selling, but they always had trouble trying to build off of Amazon or sort of diversifying the way they would launch products and, you know, building up their own audience and customer list. And so yeah, our first like 4 clients were all Amazon sellers. A lot of our clients now are Amazon sellers and we help them to grow their list. And then show them ways that they can not just sell off Amazon, but also start using that list to launch on Amazon so that when they do have a new product, they can launch really quickly and effectively without having to do a lot of the other traditional methods that people are doing right now. So yeah, that's the story.
That's amazing. And thank you so much for sharing. By the way, I'm terrible at like small talks, you know, I'm starting right away. And the reason why I started with, I wanted to hear the story behind first off is because I feel that most sellers are exactly as you described. They are starting on Amazon and that's all they know, you know? And the reason I wanted to have you on the show is because you started there, but you also see the importance of what is email marketing, or the value it can bring to your company, especially if you're starting out one product, you know, you're barely a brand and then thinking, oh, maybe I can become a brand. Oh, maybe I'm bringing the second, you know, like building on top of that. So this is, yeah, the main reason I wanted to have you on the show. And in your words, what is email marketing, or how would you describe someone who just started or have a little knowledge about email marketing? What is it like in the way you describe it as an e-com seller, I would say?
So in simple terms, a lot of what you'd call like Amazon, your customers on Amazon. Well, your customers on Amazon, they're Amazon's customers, right? That's who they really belong to. And even when you're doing like Facebook ads and Google ads, it's not your owned channel. So like email, I guess you call it, is your owned channel. You own that channel. You own that list. That list is yours to do whatever you want. Amazon owns their customers. We hear it all the time. An account gets shut down or a listing gets suspended, and it costs so much money. You know, when that happens, you're losing money. So it costs your business money. With Facebook, your business manager account can get shut down, or you know, the algorithm changes all the time. Same with Google. So you don't own those channels. Those channels can be taken away from you whenever they want. But when you have email, you own that channel. So you have a list of people, and it's pretty much, you're just looking at it like a database. Like, this is my customer list. This is my database of people who are interested in my brand, who want to buy from my brand. And because you own it, if tomorrow Amazon goes away, Facebook goes away, Facebook groups goes away, and all that, you have to think to yourself, can I still sell my product? Unless you've got already built a Shopify store with really good SEO and plenty of organic traffic coming to it, the only other way you can continue to sell is if you have an email list. If you have an email list, you can send them an email. You can direct them where you want. You can promote to them any way you want. You can just start, you can keep making money, basically. So I think that's the best way to describe it. It's a database that you own. And it's all yours, and you don't have to worry about it disappearing tomorrow.
Love it. Only if there's no internet anymore in this world, then hopefully that's the latest thing. You know, the apocalyptic, it's like that. All right, so you explained what email marketing is. Now, follow up there, it would be like, where do you start if you are thinking, hearing, for example, this podcast today and say, holy shit, this is it, you know? This is what missed in my business. How and where would you start?
Cool. So, I mean, it would be good to just set up a basic Shopify store, which can be super easy and super quick. Done is better than perfect, I always say. Just get things done, execute, don't get paralysis by analysis. Mm-hmm. So get up a Shopify store, connect it to like Klaviyo, which is what we recommend for email marketing software. And then the next big thing, right, for anybody is, of course, building up that email list. So if you're on Amazon, there's quite a few ways. Product inserts. A lot of Amazon sellers know about product inserts. So make sure you have a product insert that's going to lead them to a landing page that will capture their email. So probably have a good offer on there, or a freebie, or some type of incentive for them to leave their name and their email address. Product inserts good, but you know, 100 people buy your product and maybe 2-5% end up leaving their email. So you need to be moving a lot of volume, and it's very slow. The second way is, you know, a lot of Amazon sellers do like a rank and review launch, where they use Facebook ads and a mini chat bot. You know, and then they're like, hey, we'll go buy a product and we'll give you a rebate, things like that. That is a good point to start collecting emails also. So with the mini chat bot, you're collecting their name and, you know, other things like that. So you might as well also just pop in a question saying, we need your email to, you know, double verify, or to double make sure that you're notified when we approve your order number, and we're going to, you know, rebate you. So try and capture their email in that process. So that's another way to capture emails. I have Facebook groups. I know there's quite a lot of Amazon sellers right there doing that, like where they create a Facebook group even before they launch, or for their launch. They use it for product development. they do it post-launch also just to build a community. So that's also a great way before people enter your Facebook group. You know, there's, you always have those like questions, and a good one is like, you know, make sure that you grab their email address. So if you're building a Facebook group, grab email addresses from there. And then there's just so many other ways, like getting on podcasts, which is great. If you're selling a health supplement, then try and find health and fitness podcasts. And just make sure, you know, you tell the podcasters that, you know, you've got a great offer and you'll be able to bring some value to their audience, right? You can't just,
of course,
yeah, you know, just tell people, get me on your podcast for no reason, just so I can be on there for right, my own game,
yeah,
right? So this was like a take. And so build that list. That is obviously a huge priority. And then I think build out some simple automations on your website. And if you're with Klaviyo, it's very easy. They also have templates in there that you can import right away. And once again, just get it set up, get the basics set up. Don't worry about it being perfect, right? So that's one. Two is the automations. And then three would just be send out an email at least once a week. The worst thing you can do is build up an email list and then you never end up emailing them. And then the email list goes dead, which means, you know, you haven't emailed them in 4, 5, 6 months. And what happens is you try and email them and a lot of people unsubscribe. People will report you as spam. People will, you know, they don't remember who you are. So you want to keep that email list really warm, as we like to say. So yeah, those are my three sort of tips there.
I love them. Especially the third one is like a good tip there. You were saying that people might report you as spam. So in that scenario, would you still approach that list, or would you just put it away, toss it away, and just maybe use it, I don't know, for Facebook ads, for Pixel and so on, and just not use them anymore? Or what would your approach be in that scenario?
Yeah, so there's a few things you can do. That's a really good question. You would, if you haven't emailed them in like 6+ months, then I'd really recommend your first email that goes out to them has to be nice and short. It has to be you saying, hey, sorry, we messed up. We haven't been emailing you. That's on us. So apologize to them. Tell them what to expect. Give them a really good offer. So you want to go to them and be like, here's like a really irresistible offer for you. Because if it's just content, or if it's just here's 5% off, you know, people aren't going to pay attention too much and they're going to unsubscribe or report a spam. But if you can say, hey, we're sorry, and here's like 50% off to say we're sorry, you know, please come back, then, you know, people are going to be attracted to that. They're not going to just go unsubscribe, and they're going to go, oh, 50% off, all right, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to buy something. And now they've re-engaged with you, right? So now they're warm again. And I would also recommend, after you give them a nice offer, to actually under it, give them a big button where it is actually very, very easy to unsubscribe. So, hey, and say, hey, we understand if you don't want to be on this list, please unsubscribe. So make it very easy for them to unsubscribe, because if you don't, then there's a higher chance they're going to report you as spam, which is a lot more worse than somebody hitting unsubscribe. So it's like three things: apologize, give a really good offer, and then have a nice unsubscribe link. And maybe to start out, depending how big, if you have a very big list you've built up and you haven't emailed them, then I would try and send that message to a very small amount of people first, like 500, 1,000 people, and just see what happens. See, like, if that small section gives you really bad metrics of spam, then it's probably telling you, okay, I better not touch the rest of the list, because that sample size is giving me a lot of like a negative impact, which means the rest of the list probably will. So yeah, there's that. And then, as you actually said, you can also, at the same time, while you're running that, because not everybody's going to see the email, not everybody's going to open it, you know, your email inbox is like super messy, I'm sure, like mine is.
Everything is clear. It's the shift key, you know, everything is gone. Everything is red. I hate emails.
I've got my business one and it's super clean, and I try and always get to zero. Then I have my personal one where I, you know, put my email link at everything I see, and it's just like, 1,000 unread. And so what you said is load up that email list into custom audience on Facebook and just start advertising to them a really good offer, and because then they're back top of the funnel. And then if they click on your ad, re-engage with your website, then they're re-engaged. So you kind of got two backup things there.
Brilliant. And I also love how you strategize your ideas. 1, 2, 3. This is exactly, I love that. It's really, really important. How much upfront time and budget would require this whole process, the Klaviyo thing, the templates, everything what you were saying?
Like if somebody's to do it themselves?
Let's say that you're doing it yourself until you understand before hiring out, I would say.
So if you're doing it yourself, like Shopify is relatively cheap. It's a SaaS. You'd expect to pay the same for any other sort of program. And then Klaviyo, the good thing about Klaviyo is they charge you based on how many people are in your email list, which is really good, because if you do have quite a few people on your email list, you should be making money from that email list, and that should pay off the Klaviyo accounts very easily. So those are really the only two things you have to pay for, just Shopify and Klaviyo, and then you're set and you're good to go. Time dedicated to it, I think like with anything else, when you first start, there's that learning curve, right? I mean, you're setting up Shopify, you're gonna have to Google, you might watch some YouTube videos, or you might watch some Shopify tutorials on their website, and so that's going to take a bit of time. Same with Klaviyo, setting it up. Once it's all set up, it's pretty set it and forget it. Klaviyo, you have the automations, which is set it and forget it, and so that's things when someone comes to your site and there's a pop-up for 10% off. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, and it's a good way to obviously capture email addresses, 10% off or free shipping if you spend over $50. And then they put in their email. And then in Klaviyo, you should have an automation set up to just send them a series of like 5 emails over 2 weeks. And another automation would be the abandoned cart. So if somebody is going to check out, then they don't finish checking out, then it triggers Klaviyo to send like 4 to 5 emails over, you know, 7 days to 2 weeks. So you've got those, which is set it and forget it. And then once again, the only thing you have to worry about is sending out those broadcast emails. So, and as I said, like just start like 1 a week, right? If you're already making content for your product, if it's a blog on your website, if you're posting in your Facebook group, wherever it is, if you've got a social media channel, so to keep it easy, if you're posting something out on any other channel, just go, okay, I'm going to take this and then turn it into an email somehow, shorten it, lengthen it, and that's my email out for the week. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, price and time, it's not too much of an investment, right? But there's a learning curve.
Yeah, brilliant. And I basically asked for like, how would you do it if you start? Because afterwards, like after going through the question, I also want to see what working with you looks like. And when you get to that level, okay, when you're outsourcing everything, when someone like who's an expert is doing it, you know, how does that level looks like? So definitely we're going to tap into that as well.
Yeah, that's fine.
But first off, you were saying something interesting. You were saying about, and my idea escapes, we were talking about sending out emails, sending out spam. You're mentioning something important. It's going to come back.
Facebook?
No, I wanted to ask about, I remembered. So you were saying about the pop-up, and I was curious if you, because you have like a larger database, if you tested whichever works best, like the 50%, 10%, the 50%, the shipping, you were mentioning, there you go. Yeah, the free shipping.
It would work really well.
Does it?
It would, but you don't want to do that because it's such a big discount. So I mean, of course, it depends what you're willing to give away. There's so many different things you can use as a pop-up. It's good to always split test and to keep it interesting and have a different pop-up throughout the year. Like when you're starting out, you probably don't have as much time to schedule and change it and everything. But as you get more into it, you know, you'd have a certain pop-up for Halloween that, you know, looks like Halloween, or maybe a free Halloween gift if you put in your email. You have like a Black Friday pop-up, you'll have an Easter pop-up, things like that. But in general, just with a normal pop-up, what you see a lot is just like 10% off, and it works really well. Like a good pop-up, we can see like 10, 12% opt-in rate out of 100 people coming to the store. But once again, always test it out. And this is also going to depend on your margins and everything like that. So good things to test out is obviously percentage off. So just doing a simple 10% off works super good, very easy. The free shipping, so you can do it any way you want. I recommend not to just give away free shipping. It should be, you know, get a coupon code so that if you spend over $50 or if you spend over $100, we're going to give you free shipping. The good thing about that is it's still an incentive. People are going to sign up, but you're also increasing the average order value of every person that comes in, right? So if you give a 10% off, some people may just use it for a $40 item. Mm-hmm. But if you say, you know, we're going to give you free shipping if you spend over $70, you're going to find that you actually get a lot more people starting to try to spend over $70 just to claim free shipping. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. Another one is a free gift with your product. So they opt in, they get a code which they put into checkout, and that tells like your Shopify to add a free product. And you obviously want to make it, you know, a nice, small, cheap product, you know, that's going to be easy to ship. And once again, really nice on your margins, so you're not losing a bunch of money. So those are the three main ones I would recommend testing out. The free shipping if you spend over X amount, the free gift with every purchase, or if you spend over X amount, you get the free gift. And then just the simple like 10% off or $5 off, $10 off, something like that. So those are like really simple ones to do. Other ones you can do is just if you do have a special promotion going on at the moment, and it's only for people who join your list, you can do that. Make it feel very exclusive. You know, exclusivity always, you know, makes people feel important and they want to get into the club. So that's another good one to test. So yeah, always test, you know, a bunch of them. And with Klaviyo, it's going to show you how good your opt-in rate is, the percentage. And then you can also start to see who's used the coupons, how much those people are actually spending, which is also really important to track. So, you know, you may get a lot of more people opt in with 10%, but then on the back end, you'll actually see, but hey, if we use the free shipping over $50, we actually make a lot more money from those people. So, you know, let's go that way instead.
Yeah, obviously. And for testing, what timeline do you suggest? Week, 2 weeks, month?
I go by like sample size. So because, you know, you might test for a week, but if only 10 people come to your website, it's like, yeah, okay, that's this. We had one person join. So I would do it by sample size. It's really, you know, up to you how big you want your sample size to be, but the bigger the better. So, you know, 10,000 people coming, like maybe 1,000 opt-ins, I would say is really solid. So once you can get to about 1,000 opt-ins, and then just look at all that data, the revenue made, that's where I would go. But that's obviously tough because
for a slow moving product, 1,000 opt-ins, that's a lot, I would say.
Yeah, or like you start out and nobody's coming.
Yeah, it's like, who are you? Why do you want 10%? I don't know your brand. Exit.
That's it. Yeah. So So you can just, you can do an A-B split test of the pop-up also anyway. So you're at least testing two at once. And then if you start seeing a winner and you're like, yeah, I want to go with that one, just go with it. But yeah, it's all in the data really. So.
And that was a very great caveat because as you were saying, sample size, it's actually what's showing you no matter what, like it can be a weekend, no one's showing up the next week, something special, or I don't know what's happening. It's just like booming. It's brilliant. Most common newbie mistakes.
Most common newbie mistakes. Yes. I think the biggest mistake is they don't email their list. Like 100%. I talk to a lot of newbies, not even newbies, like even people who are crushing it on Shopify. So people who are doing 100K a month, even more than 100K a month, a lot of them, we'll talk to them and we'll be like, cool, you've got a very big list of like 20,000, 50,000 people. And then we'll be like, have you been emailing them? Or when was the last time you emailed them? And yeah, they haven't been emailing them. Or the last time they emailed them was like, yeah, 6 months, a year ago. And it's just like, oh man, what are you doing? Because like you're sitting on a gold mine, you're sitting on a mountain of cash, and all you have to do is send an email and you're going to make, you know, thousands of dollars like really easily, especially if they're engaged. Like we have some clients who have, you know, like an email list of 7,000 to 10,000 people, and we can send an email out and it doesn't have to be a big promo. Sometimes it's just we're back in stock with these items, or it can be a 10% get 10% off just the chocolate collection, and it's only 10,000 people on that list. You send out an email and, you know, we can easily make $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 just from one email. And so sometimes it like baffles me why you're not sending emails, because
they don't know the value. This is why I wanted to have you on the show, because all the time, Carlos is all the time like, email marketing, this is how I became a 9-figure seller, email marketing. I learned how to do that, you know, but most people don't know what email marketing is. Is this like, at least understand this much, you know, and then decide, is this something you want to have for your business, or you say, whatever, you know, because it's super, super, super cool. So you were talking about, okay, the huge possibility of gaining so much money. How or where, what's the normal expectance? Like, okay, I'm starting, I have a 1,000 people, let's say, in my email list. What's the realistic expectation there to gain from that 1,000 email subscribers?
So if you have 1,000 email subscribers, you can easily expect to like make like a few hundred dollars every time you send an email, as long as you're keeping them nice and engaged. So the other mistake is, of course, just constantly either not sending emails,
mm-hmm.
or sending a lot of emails is not bad, but if you're sending too many emails that have no value and are just promotions all the time, that's going to be bad. You're going to burn out the list, and then, you know, you might make like $200-$300 every time you send an email, and then that's going to start dropping because people start getting sick of opening an email because they know it's just you saying, hey, we've got 10% off, or hey, come buy from us. So try not to be so product centric and be a bit more customer focused, a bit more, you know, and think about what are they interested in? What do they want to see? What's going to make them engaged? And then do like 2 value emails and then 1 promo email, like do that sort of a ratio. Right? So 2 value emails, 1 promo, 2 value, 1 promo, because yeah, then you're just going to end up killing that list and all the hard work you did like creating it.
The promo email, can it be like related to other products as well, or only your product?
Yeah. So that's actually a really good question. Obviously a lot of e-com store owners, especially when you're starting out, you're probably just thinking, oh, like, all I can do is promote my product. But you can go out there, find other e-commerce brand owners, or even like info products and things like that, that have an affiliate program and start selling their stuff through your email list, right? So I see a lot of people do this. And so you want to find products where the brand is not in direct competition with you. So it's in the same sort of niche, like, you know, this is a product that my customers would also enjoy. Like, it's similar enough that they would want to buy it, but we're not in direct competition that they're going to steal my customers and they're not going to come back to me.
Can I give there an example? For example, because like we are in a cat niche, so I'm using cat. The cat also was meowing right before the recording. So let's stick with cats. Say you're selling cat stretch pads, right? Or cat houses, let's say, cat trees. And a small product to that, would it be a cat toy? But it's still referring to, or is that too far enough? Because you were saying it should be complementary, but not direct competition.
So with yours, it feels like a cat bed. Well, first I think like, are you going to start selling cat toys in the future? Because a cat bed and cat toy, I mean, it's kind of similar. So what I'd like recommend for you is that you find a cat food, right? It's cat food, like cat beds, you know, easy to create. Cat food, you're going to have to, it's totally something different. It's like food, you have to find a completely different type of manufacturer. If, you know, it's completely different type of product development, like you may never be, you know, in your next 2, 3, 5 year plan, you're probably like, I'm never going to sell cat food. Mm-hmm. So what's a brand that I love to give my cat, that I really believe in, that's super clean and healthy and is not like normal cat food? And yeah, find a brand that you really love, see if they have some type of affiliate program. If you can't find it on their website, contact them. And then, so I would sell something like cat food. That would be good. Okay. I was going to say cat training, but cats aren't like dogs where you can like, you know, sit.
And... No, you can definitely can. There's the clicker trainer. We also have it with our cats, so it's lovely. So they're doing all kinds of stuff. So you can actually train cats as well, yeah.
So that would be a really good one. I guess not as big. Like, I think, like, there is cat training, but, and maybe that's cool because a lot of people won't realize that there's cat training. So if you presented to them, it would be like an aha moment and they'll be like, wow, that's super cool. I'm going to buy this. But yeah, buy cat training. If there's an info product out there, that's like, you know, they give you videos and an ebook and then you get the clicker, that'd be a super good one to do. So don't think just physical products, but also think digital products, which is really smart because if you sell digital products alongside, so if you're selling, so a good example is like, if you sell like yoga clothing, yoga mats, yoga blocks, then I would find, and especially during COVID and the pandemic, we know people are doing yoga at home a lot. They want to do yoga because they're stressed and they have anxiety and stuff. I'd go out there and find there's like aloe moves, there's yoga body, there's like a bunch of different online courses out there, or even streaming. They do streaming services, like you pay a monthly subscription. You can go to them, get their affiliate code partnership, and sell that to your audience. And the great thing about that is because it's a digital info product, typically the commissions on it are 50%, right? Where like a physical product, they're like, I will give you 10% of it because they got to pay for cost of goods, they got to pay for shipping, they got so many overheads. But an info product's like, it's just like, whoop, and sends an email, right? So you get 50% commission. If it's a subscription model, you can get like a recurring commission. So yeah, all of a sudden these doors for all other revenue, you know, revenue streams are now opened up. So definitely, that was a really good question. That's something I don't typically talk about, but it is something that like we do with people. It's something that I see get done a lot. So yeah, definitely you can sell other stuff like crazy. You can sell whatever you want. It's your list.
Yeah,
as long as you don't pick them off, right?
That's why I love it, because also like most people are saying, okay, it should be something that it should be your stuff, it should be like brand, but you know, you have maybe one product, maybe two products, and like they don't want that because they already have that. So what else? Because you want to bring value. So, and truly want to bring value, not just like, you know, because you put yourself in their position. Would I open this email? Probably not, you know, or probably yes, you know. So definitely, I love that you were also mentioning. Also the affiliate marketing part, I think that's a really good part as well, because that's also one extra stream of income that you would haven't had beforehand otherwise. So definitely, I love it. And now, most important thing, what does working with you looks like and who can work with you?
Everybody. Everyone. So yeah, I mean, just go to, you know, nolimitemail.com. There's a little like sign up form. It goes through a crazy little questionnaire. I think there might be 10 questions in there. And yeah, anyone can come work with us really. Like, obviously we have a specific clientele that we like to work with, especially in the long term. You know, it's great to work with people who understand the value of email, who understand business and marketing, and they're flexible and they're happy for us to, you know, take over the email marketing and trust us to do that and be like, here's, you know, you guys take over the email, you're good to go. And, you know, they're not always trying to change everything we do, things like that. But like revenue wise and what stage you're up to, it really can be anything, right? For two reasons. If you don't have anything set up, like even know your email list, we can help you with that. If you're just set up a little, or you want to get your Klaviyo set up, we actually have a package specifically for that. For startups, for people in the beginning phase who just want everything set up from scratch. So that's creating their Klaviyo account, connecting the Klaviyo account, putting all the tracking codes into Shopify, and then you know, connecting it to your Facebook Ads Manager even, so that the data goes from Klaviyo straight to that, and then setting up your automations, the copy, everything. So that's like a really good package. And then we have like ongoing retainer also. So if people want to start going month to month, then that's possible also. And it's just all, it's all like A to Z, like Amazon.
Sounds great.
So we do take over the strategy, the copywriting, implementation, design. Yeah, you know, everything you need, so that, you know, you don't have to think about it. It's really off of your mind.
Say I'm coming to you, new client, how long would the process be until it's like it's ready to go?
Yeah, so for the startup package, it's like, it's basically 2 months. It's a 3 month package, but everything's really set up and running by month two. And we just use that last month to keep looking at everything, making sure people are going into the right flows and they're making it all the way through. They're not receiving, like, you know, they don't go to an abandoned cart, and then something happens in the back and they receive like 10 emails at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, what the hell? So looking at that, making sure everything is working properly and functional, and also just doing some optimization. So it really happens in just 2 months, right? That's us doing the customer research, copywriting, putting everything in, making sure that you're generating revenue like as quickly as you can, so that you can see the fruits of the labor even by month three.
That's, I would say, pretty quick. So let's do it. Are there any questions that I should have asked and I haven't?
No, I think you did really well. I think you even asked questions that I didn't even think about. So that was cool. And I think, like, as you said, a big thing is a lot of people kind of don't see the value of email. And like, that's the thing. I was like that before I got into email marketing. And then like opened it. Forgot what the tipping point was, but I was in the mindset of who checks their emails, because I'm one of those people who don't. And then because, you know, you don't, you think, well, no one else really checks these promo emails or anything, because I'm signed up to like 10 e-commerce emails that you know, I try and look at and buy from their store. But I hardly check them. I do every now and then. And then I learned about email marketing, and then I learned how much money sellers were making through email marketing. And as soon as I found that out, I was like, that's crazy. Like, how's that even possible? And then that sort of really got me into it. And I think the other really good thing about it is just that it's very predictive. So I think that's probably the other thing I'd probably like to say about email marketing is that it's super predictive, where, you know, Facebook, you have to constantly refresh your creatives, your ads get burnt out, you have to try new angles and test new images, and you know, it can take a month for Facebook's algorithm to start learning and kick in, and there's all these things that go into it, and you need a good amount of ad spend to get the conversions you need to train the pixel, and you know, so many things can go wrong. With email, it's kind of like, well, I know I'm going to generate 20% of your revenue from email very easily. And, you know, we know that if we send out an email, we're going to easily make $2,000 to $5,000, and that every month we can consistently make this amount from email. So it's very predictive, which is great in a world where
I love Facebook predicting, banned. Yes.
Yeah, your Facebook account being banned, and then Amazon sending you a message saying you've incentivized reviews, or you have another seller account and you don't, and you're like, what is going on? And then they close out one of your accounts, and then, you know, yeah. So it's good to have that stability where now you have, you know, other corporations who kind of like control your other channels. So yeah, I think that's it.
That's brilliant. You did amazing. And thank you so much. I love when someone is saying that I have good questions, because it's like, yay, I did well. Awesome. So to be super respectful of your time and for sharing all this knowledge before we wrap up, I'd love to ask three questions, my guests. First one being, what is your best or latest $50 or less investment that you made towards learning about email marketing?
Well, about email marketing specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. email marketing, $50. What have I spent on $50? I don't know. A lot of the email marketing stuff is out there for free, which is pretty good. I mean, like most things. I think the best resource is just to go to Klaviyo's blog, and you'll learn so much for free. For $50 on email marketing, I can't even really think of like a mini course. Maybe I should come out with one.
There you go. $50. I want the affiliate link for that. We're going to push you.
For email marketing specifically, I probably couldn't say. I mean, recently I did buy a copywriting book, which I guess is quite related to email marketing, right? It's called Great Leads by Michael Masterson. It's probably one of the greatest copywriting books out there. So many marketers have read it. It's super important to understand how to talk to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for email, but it's going to be great for your Facebook ads and every other sort of marketing that you do. And so I bought that, and then I bought a Kindle finally, like an actual handheld Kindle. So
wow, that's, you're old school, like it.
That's like $200. So that's, yeah. So usually I buy books, I read the books, or I'll read the Kindle on my laptop. But yeah, I've been meaning to buy like a normal Kindle for a while, and I bought it and I love it. I've been reading every night now, which is awesome. Great Leads by Michael Masterson. Pick that up, read it a few times, and take notes down. And I think every time you read it, you're going to learn something new, and it's going to help for any type of marketer, business owner. So definitely get that.
That's awesome. Actually, that brought the second question, which is like three favorite books and why, but you already gave a book, so you can give two more.
Yeah. So it might sound a bit cliche, but like three main books would be probably the first three books that really propelled me to start selling online, to become entrepreneurial, to not do a 9-to-5 job, and to sort of like get out there and do something different, right? Like even when I was in my early 20s, mm-hmm. I ended up moving overseas. I moved to Thailand. I went to traveling in South Africa, the States, all over Southeast Asia, trying to do affiliate marketing online and all that sort of stuff. And that all sort of kicked off from like three books. So the first book, and I'm saying it sounds cliche because I feel like everybody's read these books, and yeah, sometimes people are like, oh, those
but books they don't again. Have your why. This is why I was asking three favorite books and why. They don't have your why, so please go on.
Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, of course. Like, you know, you grow up with a very fixed idea of the world and how it works and what a job is and how you make a living and you know, money and what money is, how to handle it and how people use it. And I read that and that was like, wow, like totally, you know, flipped everything on its head and my perspective on work and yeah, how you make money. So Rich Dad Poor Dad. Second one is 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, now like I think about it, I'm like, it's not super practical. Like it's, you know, but when I read that book, I was like, holy crap. Like, I think that's the book that I was like, I'm leaving. I'm selling my stuff. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to work online. Like, I'm going to make this happen. Right. So he really sold that dream really well. Right. Work from anywhere, live the life you want. And I was like, hell yeah. So that was another really great one for our work week. And then Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which can be a boring read for some people, but it's really, and it's not just about, you know, Think and Grow Rich. It's not just about business. It's really about mindset, setting goals, giving yourself really good affirmations day and night so that you're always visualizing and keeping your eye on the money. And you know, when I initially read it, I didn't even use it for any sort of business goals. I just used it for like personal goals, fitness goals, all those sort of things. And yeah, it was amazing. That book definitely changed my life and my outlook. So those are the three books.
Amazing. And if you were saying that it's boring, try listen to it. It's I think it's better. And try listen to it to 2x or 1x, 1.5. It's boring. Yeah. That's what I did. It depends. All right. Most important, how can people get a hold of you, say hello, find out more about you and your services?
Yeah, definitely. I think probably the easiest way is just to go to the website, www.nolimitemail.com. I think my email address is like down at the bottom in the footer. If someone wants to hit me up by email, or you can fill out the form. You can find me on Facebook. But you know, once again, I think sometimes it's hard for people to find me if they're not connected to my friends or anything, but you can look up Michael Galvin on Facebook or LinkedIn and hopefully I'll pop up.
Yeah, definitely. And also puts out lots of great material on Facebook too. So definitely check him out there as well.
Thank you.
Michael, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so, so much for sharing all this knowledge. And I believe that, or I hope so, at least give it a try. See how it works for you. Like, see what email marketing is and how can it help your business. Even if you're starting it by yourself, even if you decide to go with Michael's services, I think that is definitely worth it. Because as Mike was saying, it's Amazon is a sales platform, and this is most, not even beginners, but most people don't understand. It's only a sales platform. If it's gone, it's gone. And everything else, it's gone, what you built over the past 1, 2, 3, 5 years. So definitely check out this episode. And Michael, once again, thank you. And everyone listening, have a good week. Bye-bye.